Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Let's get to the bottom of this huge discriminatory issue that is not actually a real issue at all in trans people in sports too, science and bigotry. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the human who loves and hates science and bigotry in the exact right proportions, Susan Bridges.
Hello! That was a good one.
Thank you. Our returning guest is Zoe Aurora Slater, a British trans gal who managed to end up in Colorado, a former trainer of competing powerlifters and bodybuilders in her former life who can be easily bought with flavored lattes. Welcome back, Zoe.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so we talked about this just briefly at the end of the intro of the last episode, but I wanted to ask more about your photography because it is really good. And I wanted to ask, like, what drew you to it as an art form?
Thank you. My granddad, way back when, actually owned his own wedding photography business back in the north of England in the 1970s and 80s.
Wow.
So he worked exclusively with film. And I inherited my first camera from him, which I didn't end up using that much at the time because I was young and silly. But I always sort of had that interest in it.
Yeah.
And it kind of merges a lot of fixation areas for me. Like, I love technology. I love figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
And I always tell people that I don't have a sort of visual creative art brain, but I do. It's just it's exclusively for figuring out composition and things for photography. Like, if you ask me to design a logo for anything, I am absolutely clueless, but I know where to put stuff. I know what light looks good for what I want, and I know how to get
yeah.
it. And there's a certain, instead of it being like an artistic issue to solve, it feels more like an issue of physics and positioning. And that just makes a lot more sense to my brain than anything else visual.
That is fascinating. And I think, I mean, we're all drawn to different art forms for different reasons, right? And they all can offer us different things and we find our own ways into them. So I think that's really fascinating.
I hadn't thought about photography like that, but yeah, I was totally into photography for a while too. And
yeah, you were.
I'm the same way.
It's
very
even,
much the technical way.
It's even similar, like when we shot our short film, like the cinematographer, director
right.
of photography on film, it's the exact same thing, setting up the lighting to get it to look the exact way you want, where you put everything to get the image that you're trying to get. So there is that aspect to it, and that's really cool. I wanted to ask, did it change for you with transition? Like, did your approach to it, or do you find that the results of your photography, did your photos get better or change with transition?
In an indirect way, yes. How it feels to be a photographer working with clients has changed, obviously,
sure.
because I just feel great now. So it's nice to interact with people. I feel more free to do that.
Yeah, that's wild, isn't it?
I feel like my general approach to photography in terms of like the lighting I like, the framing I like, hasn't changed that much. But given that I now work pretty much exclusively with queer people, this is going to sound a little bit generalizing. So I will throw out a caveat that I know it's a generalization, but a lot of times straight couples had more issues with hesitancy and expressing emotion.
Really?
And now that I work with exclusively queer couples, it's not like that never happens, but it happens a lot less. I think there's possibly something to do with already being okay with expressing who you are in a world that maybe doesn't massively want you to, that maybe frees up other things, but like expressions of affection, for instance, are just, at least in my experience, much easier to draw out of people now. And that makes for much better photography as an end result.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. And like, especially when you think about like cishet men are taught by society to not ever display emotions or feelings unless it's anger, right? Or lust or whatever. Those are like the only allowable ones. And I would think that like even cis gay men are like you said, they're used to being, this is something society says we're not supposed to do, and we're doing it anyway because we know it's right and it's not a bad thing. And so they are used to, I think, even in some ways, flaunting what society says they have to be. And so they're more expressive in that way. So I never ever would have thought of that, but that makes a whole lot of sense.
I was being overly careful in not going near the whole cishet men don't express their feelings and it's bad for pictures. So I'm glad that you kind of went there for me.
No filters here.
It's just another aspect of society forced upon all of us.
It is. It is.
Yay.
All right. For you, what has been the most surprising thing about your transition?
So for me, the most surprising thing has been how much my insides have changed and how that's affected everything on the outside. Because I knew that when I started hormones and things, my outsides would change. I didn't really know how much, but you know, that's kind of what you do.
Yeah,
And
kind of the reason you do it, right? You're like, this will give me, maybe I'll get boobs. And I did. Hooray.
give me them titties, as they say. And it did, yay.
Yay.
And you also kind of hope that along the way you'll become happier, right? Like, that would be
Yeah.
nice. But like for me as an egg, I was a massive introvert.
Same.
I was basically a hermit. I did not go out. When I could be dragged to go out somewhere, I most certainly did not dance.
Oh, yeah.
And I just generally didn't enjoy socializing with other people much. I made myself do it to the extent that you have to function
Right.
and be accepted by people and thus kind of have a successful-ish life, but that was it. And I had absolutely no idea how much that was just dysphoria. And
Yeah.
now I'm a massive extrovert. If I go
Same.
more than 2 days without like meeting friends for coffee or something, then I start to spiral and get all weird. And I just need to be around friends and family and loved ones as often as humanly possible. And I'm addicted to dancing, which is the most, like, my egg self would be so surprised his head would explode. It's
Yeah.
absolutely outrageous.
If you had told Egg me that one day Susan and I were going to redo our wedding and I'd get up and talk in front of everybody and not feel any kind of shame or fear, and that I would be the only person in a room of 80 some people who was dancing in front of everybody while no one else was, I would have said, no, that's not possible. So the very idea of, the mental changes that came along with it, and like the calm and peace and wholeness that I feel internally now, I had no idea that was a thing that could even happen, you know? And
Absolutely.
yeah, it's wild.
There have been multiple times now where we have gone to a bar or a club and we've been a little early and the dance floor has been empty. And I have gone, well, let's encourage people to get on it then. And then just hopped on a completely empty dance floor. And like,
I love
that would
that.
have been inconceivable.
Yeah.
Absolutely inconceivable.
Completely inconceivable. All right. If you had any advice for someone who was just starting their transition, or if there was something maybe you wish you knew going in ahead of time, what would it be?
I think I would say this is almost an impossible ask, but to try not to have too many definite expectations. Because I was so completely intensely wrong about so much. And the reason for that isn't just for things like this information, but it's because in a lot of ways, I'm a completely different person now. And I could not, literally could not have imagined where I would get to, how it would feel, because I just wasn't that person. So I think I would say just, I'm trying not to express this in a super cliche way, but you really have to trust the process. And
you do, yeah.
When it's done to a significant enough degree, not only will your life have changed, but you will have changed so much that everything will be and feel completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I feel like I like a lot of the same things that I liked before, you know, in that aspect, I feel like that hasn't changed, but I like them in different ways. I appreciate them in different ways. It's not the same. I don't even love you the same way I did before. Like, I love you, but like the way I feel about you and that feeling has entirely changed. You know, I'm more open and able to express things and feel things. And it's absolutely wild to me. What, you look like you have something to say.
No, that's interesting.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about it.
Well, do you have a thought? Like, have you perceived any change? Like, in that?
I mean, I think you're definitely more demonstrative.
Yeah, well, sure. I'm more comfortable with myself and with my feelings.
And I think at the beginning, when you were still figuring out hormone levels and things,
yeah,
you were wild. Like the mood swings and everything.
Well, sure.
I was just like, what is going on? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, that was just something to get through.
Sure. Yeah. But no, I think what you're saying, Zoe, is really important, because like, I feel like so many trans people, when they start, have this image in their heads, or they're like, this is who I'm going to be and this is what it's going to be like. And you don't know that. And 2 months in, you could find out, hey, that's not it at all. You know, like the most superficial example of that I have is like, prior to transition, I used to just, for some reason, totally a normal cis guy thing to do, I had a whole list of bookmarks to like websites of women's clothing that I really liked. Very cis man thing to do. And once I started transitioning, I'm like, okay, well, let's get some of these clothes that I liked, right? And I went and looked at them, and some of them I'm like, no. And some of them I'm like, yes, this was so exciting, and I got it and I wore it, and I'm like, no, that's not. Or even I would, there's like a top I just got rid of that I've had for 5 years. And when I first got it, I'm like, this is kind of nice. And now I'm like, this isn't me at all. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like wearing it, it's not me and it's not right. So it's just, it's a process. It is a process, and you have to trust it and just let it lead you where it goes. You know, you can't steer it. You can't force it into a certain direction. You never know what you're going to want or desire. You got to be open to finding it along the way.
I knew very, very few other trans people in Florida, but one of them was a trans gal who had been out for, I think, about 5 years. Hi, Michael, if you ever hear this. And she gave me so much great advice, but the one that, along those lines, that really stuck was, try not to think too much about what's ahead. Try not to plan too much. Just look at, okay, what do I feel like trying? Try it. If it feels good, maybe keep doing it, maybe move on. If it doesn't feel good, maybe don't do that thing, and then find another thing, and just try to keep your attention like there, as opposed to where will I be in half a year, where will I be in 3 years, because you have no idea.
You have no idea. Absolutely no idea. Wonderful advice.
But bows have been your constant.
True. I loved bows. We've talked about that on this show so many times. I used to love them on you, but it was really
you bought me so many bows, and after you transitioned, I just dumped them all.
I think you said that on this show like 500 times. We don't have even 200 episodes, but you know, it comes up a lot. Well, yes, okay, I like my bows. Shut up. Before we get into this week's topic, do you want to let folks know one more time where they can find you online after listening?
Absolutely. And this time I don't have to look. You can find me at Zoe Slater Photography on Instagram. That's ZoeSlater Photography.
Perfect. All right, let's get into it. Be sure you have listened to Trans People in Sports 1, Origins and Advantages, last week in episode 125 first. Okay, so Republicans will have you believe that trans women are taking over women's sports, but we're barely even competing in sports as it is. A quote from a link in the show notes. Quote, there are 510,000 NCAA athletes in the U.S., as NCAA President Charlie Baker explained to a Senate panel in December. And he's aware of, quote, less than 10, end quote, athletes who identify as transgender. But if you believe many right-wing voices, you'd think it was far more than 0.001961% of college athletes, end quote. 0.00196 1% of all NCAA athletes. 0.01%. That's what we need to ban? It is sexist, patriarchal bullshit. Trans women have competed with cis women, and if we were dominating in any sport, you'd know it already.
I can't remember off the top of my head how many sexual assault allegations there are against the president, because there are so many of them.
So many.
But I bet $1 million it's more than 10. Just saying.
It is. You've just become very rich.
Yes. I love being rich.
Until the recent bans, trans women were allowed to openly compete in the Olympics since 2004. How many of them have medaled? Zero. In fact, prior to banning trans people from competing with our gender,
which happened very recently,
the Olympics commissioned a study. Link in the show notes. Here's a quote. Quote, a groundbreaking study that was sponsored by the International Olympic Committee sought to compare a range of athletic abilities between trans athletes and their cisgender counterparts. The finding that trans women athletes are at a relative disadvantage in many key physical areas relating to athletic ability and perform worse on cardiovascular tests than their cisgender counterparts could be the first step in fighting back against the conventional wisdom conservatives have spread that trans women's participation is inherently unfair, end quote. It showed trans women are at a disadvantage compared to cis women. Then they ignored the findings and banned us anyway. Quote from another link in the show notes. Quote, this policy targeted trans women, and there is currently no scientific consensus rooted in systemic independent research that justifies the exclusion of trans athletes. It's just a vibes thing. End quote.
I don't have any actual evidence to back this up, but I believe it anyway, is if you put non-binary people to one side just for a minute for the purposes of the thought experiment, and we organize people into four groups, cis men, cis women, trans men, and trans women, I would bet most of the money that I just earned that trans women of those four are the most athletically disadvantaged.
Yeah.
Because cis men and cis women have the frames to match their engines.
Right.
And trans men are on testosterone, and testosterone is amazing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Yes, and typically have smaller frames as a generality. So smaller frame and a larger engine. So it actually sucks the most to be us in athletics anyway.
Yeah.
I can add a little color to the Olympics.
Oh, please do.
Because when in listening to the Tested podcast,
which we mentioned last week,
this is like, yes, the Olympics have allowed trans people since 2004, which is very new information for most people.
Yeah.
Had no idea that was happening.
Right.
But also, they were setting hormone level standards
in
2004, all the way up until banning trans women. And
all trans people, actually. But
all trans people. But what is important to know is that in 2004, they had liberal ranges of testosterone and estrogen that they were testing people for. And over the years, up through 2025, they reduced it and reduced it and reduced it and reduced it and made the range smaller and smaller and smaller. And like it was just said, they have never meddled. There was no actual reason. It wasn't like, oh, in 2004, we let some trans people in and they did too well. Now we need to, you know, change the hormone standards. No, it's just pure bigotry from there on.
Yeah.
They just made it smaller and smaller and smaller to keep trans people from competing, even though they never meddled.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. I did not know that.
Yes.
We're all being educated.
I forget exactly what position she finished in, but there was a trans woman who ran in, I think it was the London Marathon, and she offered to give back her participation trophy because there was a huge uproar because she finished, I think, something like 12,000th,
Yeah.
something
Wow.
obscenely far back
I
like
remember
that.
reading about that.
And
Yeah.
people were so angry because how dare she be that good?
Yeah, it was something like, how dare she beat like 4,000 people, ignoring the fact that 12,000 people beat her. Like, but trans women can't have anything. So, and if all of that is not enough for you, I have linked two other studies in the show notes that report similar findings. There is also a link to a study specifically of volleyball players that showed trans women performed worse than cis men and about equal with cis women. Also, it is important to note that the very idea that trans women have an advantage over cis women is because those who peddle that nonsense see us as men. And that's important because it means they believe men are better than women by default. And cis ladies, do you see what that's saying about you too? And also, that is bullshit. Link in the show notes about sports where cis women outperform cis men. There's a link in the show notes about how in baseball, a cis woman pitcher even struck out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. I am personally not sure that sports should be segregated by gender, but there is value in having sports where people of marginalized genders, cis women, and every trans and non-binary person can compete away from cis men who often harass us. But also, there is pretty compelling evidence that women's sports were created because cis men were losing to cis women and they could not handle how that hurt their feelings. There's a link in the show notes about how women's figure skating became an Olympic sport because in 1902, a cis woman got the silver medal when competing against cis men. The very next Olympics, women had their own separate event. In Olympic skeet shooting, which is far less physical than other events, why can't women and men compete together? They did, until 1992, when a cis woman won the gold medal. The next Olympics, women were not allowed to compete. And in the Olympics after that, they had their own separate event. Link in the show notes. And you've probably seen the images of Catherine Switzer, who was the first woman to run the Boston Marathon in 1962, though they're in the text version of this episode if you haven't seen them at
TillyStrandsToday.com.
The other runners, all cis men, assaulted her and tried to rip her number off and thus disqualify her from the event. After the race, women were banned from competing in marathons until they got their own separate event in 1972. Link in the show notes.
I think, as you're very deftly alluding to, the point is it is about not allowing the people who you see as inferior to you to prove that they are, in fact, not inferior to you. So, for
Yeah.
instance, trans women not being allowed to compete in things like chess.
Yes, right. This
That
is
is
extended into
absolutely
chess and
ludicrous.
pool and darts. Like,
Darts,
yes,
of all things. Like,
of all things.
the whole point is very clearly that the people orchestrating these bans think that they are superior because they are cis people,
Yep.
and therefore we cannot be allowed to compete in anything, no matter how nonsensical that might be, just because we might win.
Yeah, and it's especially grievous in things where it extends to like chess because that is what they're literally saying is that it's impossible for a cis woman to be smarter than a cis man or able to just beat him in one game that's based on, logic and strategy. And so it's just, oh, it's so maddening.
And it's important to also note that this kind of like sex testing of athletes like ruins people's careers and lives
Yeah.
for no reason, really.
But the reason is cis men don't want their feelings hurt.
Right. Like even cis women finding out that they're maybe intersex or
Right.
that they have a Y chromosome and
Which is
then,
not to say that that would ruin your life, but.
no, but then suddenly they're subject to the same standards as a trans athlete and they go on hormone therapy and they
Right.
realize now I can't compete at all. And it's
Right.
just nonsensical because it means nothing.
Right. When you are a professional or elite level Olympic athlete, that can drastically change your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you take all of that in context with the quote unquote issue of trans women competing with cis women, where does that take you? It's the same discriminatory nonsense repackaged for trans women. Everything old is new again. But let's see what an elite cis woman athlete has to say about all this. What are women's soccer legend Megan Rapinoe's thoughts? Here's the salient bits from a link in the show notes. Quote, show me the evidence that trans women are taking everyone's scholarships, are dominating in every sport, are winning every title. I'm sorry, it's just not happening. So we need to start from inclusion, period. And as things arise, I have confidence that we can figure it out, but we can't start at the opposite. That is cruel, and frankly, it's just disgusting. So we need to really kind of take a step back and get a grip on what we're really talking about here, because people's lives are at risk. Kids' lives are at risk with the rates of suicide, the rates of depression and negative mental health and drug abuse. We're putting everything through, quote, God forbid a trans person be successful at sports, end quote. Get a grip on reality and take a step back, end quote. Okay, so then what's the reason for all this? Well, friends, you know as well as I do that it's transphobia, because it literally cannot be anything else for every reason I have already laid out for you.
And also sexism and misogyny. Mm-hmm. All mixed up.
Transmisogyny, in fact.
Chess and darts, just to say those again.
Yeah. They're not making it a secret who's behind this, and the bigotry is pretty clear. The wildest part is there's an advertising tagline used for women's sports, quote, our bodies, our sports, end quote. You can see an example of it in the text version of this episode at
TillyTransUJ.com.
At the bottom of that ad is a list of sponsors, and some of the very organizations who sponsored that shit are the ones taking away cis women's right to bodily autonomy, like the quote-unquote Family Research Council and the Heritage Foundation. And if you're somehow not familiar with the Family Research Council or the Heritage Foundation, do some reading at links in the show notes, especially as the latter is largely responsible for Project 2025 and the state our country is presently in. See Trans Politics in episodes 88 and 89 for more. This is like the Nazis originating the idea of sex testing in sports. If you find yourself on the same side of an issue as a Nazi, you need to re-examine where you stand. If you are a women's group, if you support women's sports, if you support women's rights, and you find yourself on the same side of an issue as the Family Research Council and the Heritage Foundation, it is time to examine where you effing stand. They do not support women as anything other than trad wife baby makers. And that really ought to make you question why you agree with them on trans women in sports. That should tell you something important, in fact. And if you would like an even clearer picture of where things stand, note that sexual predators were allowed to continue playing sports while trans people were not. Talk about having your priorities backward. Link in the show notes. A convicted rapist played in the very Olympics that said trans women are a quote-unquote threat. They don't really care about threats, do they? White cis men can do anything and still play, but we can't let an innocent trans woman who is likely at a disadvantage compete with her fellow women. Link in the show notes. This is just another in a long line of new rules and regulations and legislation trying to eliminate trans people from public life. You can't play if you transitioned as an adult. State won't allow you to transition as a kid. Then you're legally barred from public bathrooms and your health care.
I know this is a point that has been done to death on various topics, but I feel like it's worth mentioning every single time that if you think trans women don't really exist and are actually cis men trying to do bad things of various stripes, be it sneak into bathrooms or be it cheat at sports, what you're actually worried about is men.
Yep.
And I feel like you can never say that enough times, really.
Absolutely. Yeah, like, and that's another thing, too, is that, like, I've seen people say men don't need to pretend to be women to assault cis women or to, you know, they just do it clearly all the time. And most of the time they get away with it. Like, how hard is like rape to prosecute and how many convictions actually happen, right? The rate is so low. And it's like they don't need to pretend to be a woman to do these terrible things. They just do it. And society generally does not punish them for it.
I mean, so, if a cis man wants to assault someone in the bathroom, he's just going to walk in.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to go on hormones.
That happens way more times.
Yeah,
but like, no, they're going to go on hormones to do it.
I'm sure it's so,
wait 2 years.
I'm sure it's not even reported on because it's so common.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is that like odd idea that the symbol of the woman on the door is like a magical
a barrier
shield of some kind.
Yes.
Yeah.
You cannot get through without wearing a dress. and if, even if, adult trans women who went through male puberty have an advantage, we don't. Why would you ban prepubescent trans girls from competing with prepubescent cis girls?
Or make all these silly laws saying kids can't play sports together.
Yes.
That all that maybe one person in the state.
Right. Do you see how transparent this all is? Please tell me you see it. Please tell me you see it. So why do these bigots only focus on trans women? Because trans men disprove their entire theory and all their talking points. Trans men on HRT are taking testosterone, which cis men use to cheat, and they still do not dominate against cis men. See the erasure of trans men in episode 14 for more. You mentioned this a little bit before, Zoe, but like, has it occurred to you, has it stuck out to you, sort of like this shining thing that they never, ever remember that trans men exist?
Oh, yeah.
They forget about them with bathrooms, with sports, with everything.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that they don't focus at all on trans men because there's kind of no point for them because the point is misogyny.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's no way for them to beat down women. There's no way for them to sort of ensure their own enshrined spot that way like there is if they go after trans women, because they can then pretend to be doing it in the name of protecting cis women, whereas of course they don't actually care about that at all.
But right.
There's no sort of easy angle with trans men there. It's kind of confusing for them, I feel. And by them, I don't mean cis people universally, obviously, but just the ones who are pushing this whole kind of agenda, because there's been this social presence through various media over years of the man in a dress, whereas
yeah.
The other way isn't really demonized because that's seen as a power move. Like if you're a woman
right.
in business and you wear a suit, oh wow, power move, because being a man is better than being a woman, and if you
exactly.
look like one, you're better. So
yeah, it's why yeah. like tomboys are a thing that there's a word for, but there is not a word for the other way, where
right.
a cis boy, maybe it likes a little bit of girly things. And that's,
where they say sissy.
Right. That's not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And there's also the issue that I think all of these bigots see trans men, especially as like confused lesbians, right? Or
yeah.
So, and the trans men face all kinds of awful things too. Again, go listen to the Erasure of Trans Men episode. But the reason they don't focus on them for the bathroom bans or sports is because they just disprove every single thing they're saying. Like if you're going to send trans women into men's bathrooms, you got to send trans men into women's bathrooms. And mm-hmm. most trans men, like I feel like they have an easier time passing for cis because they,
yeah.
like, because they're, you know, their voices will deepen with testosterone. They grow facial hair if they want. And so you are sending what looks like cis men into a women's restroom. And like, that is the literal thing they're worried about doing, right? But the trans men, they don't, oh, it just makes me so mad.
It's because women are seen as lesser. So if you're choosing mm-hmm. to be a woman, something must be wrong with you, because why would you
right.
give up your privilege?
But everyone wants to be like a man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's seen as totally okay.
Yeah.
Because men are obviously the highest ranking members of society.
Cis men, mm-hmm. yes.
So therefore, you're suspicious.
Yeah.
That how? Why would you be a woman? No one wants to be a woman.
Yeah.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
So there's something wrong with you.
Well, yeah, that's why they, I think, hate trans women the most, is because we were, quote unquote, gifted
uh-huh.
with the privilege of being a cis man. And we said, nah, that's not us. And like, how dare you reject the greatest gift in the world to be a cis man?
Yeah.
Yeah, like culturally, you're right in that people see trans men as sort of like confused. But there's
yeah.
nothing perverse about it, because obviously
right.
you would want to go in that direction. And so they can be seen as deluded, maybe, but
right.
there isn't this extra label of you're some kind of sexual deviant, which
right, right.
we get slapped on us all the time, because that's how they see women, as just
yep.
objects of sexual interest. So it must be to do with that. Because it is for them.
Yes.
And also to, yeah, as you said, like to take that step from the better thing to the worst thing, well, you must have some kind of weird reason for doing that, because otherwise, why on earth would you?
Yeah, exactly. The entire quote-unquote issue of banning trans women from competing with cis women is simply to set a legal precedent that we are, in fact, not women. If trans women can't compete with cis women, the bigots will say, it's because we're not actually women. And if we're not actually women in the eyes of sports, I mean, how could we be considered women anywhere else? It is a wedge issue they made to establish that we're not really women and use that to take all the rest of our rights away. And they've been successful because too many people fell for the propaganda. They have even admitted it's not about sports. It's just precedent to dismantling all trans rights. Link in the show notes. Quote, the gender ideology movement is a house of cards, Gaines told The Times this week, using a euphemism frequently deployed by the Trump administration. Gaines added that she believes sports participation, quote, will be the card that makes all of it crumble, opening the door to convince the general public that trans women are not truly women and gender-affirming medical care for trans youth should be restricted, end quote. And thus you have these two episodes. For you who are confused, for you who want to know the truth, for you who want people in your life who, quote unquote, have doubts to understand. We and our doctors know who we are better than you do, and none of us would choose to go through the unending bullshit the world continually throws at us just so we can beat you in a damned sport. Recognize this for the hatred it is, and understand that there is literally nothing more to keeping trans people out of sports than unrepenting, unending bigotry for people who are different, and throw the false dichotomy, as discussed in episode 11, of the entire false cis-binary status quo into question. Thanks for being here, Zoe. You are wonderful.
It's been an absolute joy. Thank you for having me.
If you believe in equal rights, you have got to fight for trans people to be treated equally, everywhere, including in sports. Anything else is just repackaged bigotry. Tilly Bridges, end transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, and you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.
Give me them titties, as they say.